This week is Parshas Balak. Vayar Balak ben Tzipor. I say Balak? Milara? I say Milel? Vayar Balak. Okay. Parshas, I turned it on. So far, so good. Okay, so let's see what happens. Maybe it's the rain. The rain has interfered with the airwaves. Parsha begins, Vayar Balak ben Tzipor Eitz Kol Asher Asa Yisrael Lo Emari. Balak is a witness. He's a witness to what the Jewish people have done to the nation of the Emoriim. Rashi Inchling says two nations. I guess I don't even know Pshan Rashi. Rashi says Elu Shnei Melachim. All right, that's something else. Balak, he saw what the Jewish people did to the Amorim. So what does he do? Balak was the king of Moab. Vayogar Moab mebnei ha'am me'od. He was terrified. Kirafu, they were numerous. Vayokatz Moab. Moab detested himself. Kotsu b'chayehem, Rashi says. The hatred of him was not for them, for Klal Yisrael, it was for themselves. How are we going to live with ourselves if the Jewish people continue to exist? That itself is a very fascinating. I didn't really plan on talking about this, but that's a very fascinating idea. You know, you talk about Hitler, yimach shemo v'zichro. He couldn't live with himself. As long as there's a Jew in the world, he hated himself. We think Hitler, he hated the Jews. Right, who did he put? You know, you take this plastic, put it in context. Okay, talk about modern times. Not modern, but who did Hitler hate? So he asked the average person, Hitler, he hated the Jews. No, he didn't hate the Jews. He hated himself. If Jews can live in this world, I can't live with myself. And therefore, to make myself happy, I have to go and eliminate all of these people off the face of the earth. It's a sickness. It's the ultimate wickedness. I don't know what you want to call it. It's a vicious, a sickness. And it says that explicitly here in this pasuk. It doesn't say in this pasuk over here that Balak wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. Balak is no different than Haman. He's no different than the crusaders, the church. He's no different than Chmelnicki. He's no different than Hitler. Same thing. And what does Rashi say? Vayokatz Moav. If you don't know Rashi, you would say Moav detested. They detested the Jewish people. They did Vayokatz. They were, well, that's not what Vayokatz Moav b'nei Yisrael. They hated themselves. They can't live. They can't enjoy life as long as there is a Jew living in this world. That's how far the hatred goes. It affects their daily lives, even though they don't see the Jews, they don't have nothing to do with them. But the fact that they exist that caused them to hate themselves, and the only way they can bring happiness to themselves in their corrupt mind is by removing, eliminating the Jews from the face of the earth. Okay, that's a side point. Now, over here, let's go. I really want to talk about the next one. All of a sudden, Moab goes. Moab has a problem. The problem is the Jewish people. Who is going to provide a solution? So the solution will come from Midian. The Ziknei Midian, they're going to provide a solution. Ata yilachu hakolas kolos v'senikol chashach seris hasodeh bolak ben tzipor melech lomo boi esahi. They go to me. Right? What does Rashi say? And then the person go on exactly what to do. Rashi, this is important. Rashi, Ziknei Midian. Now Rashi first says that they hated each other, but they all joined together in their hatred to wipe out Klal Yisrael. Okay? Now here's the part of Rashi that I want to focus on. It's the middle of Rashi. Ra Moav, little Eitzah mi Midian. Why did Moav seek advice from Midian? Kevon Shirohu es Yisrael noitzachim shaloi kiminaka olam. Being that the Jewish people, they were successful. They conquered nations in an unusual way, not like kiminaka olam. Unnaturally. Amru, they said, Manhigom shel elu. Now this, I believe this Rashi is so critical for the entire parasha. Manhigom shel elu b'midyon niskadel. These words of Rashi are super, super important. The people of Moab, they said, let's search the records. Let us, I mean, I'm sure every government has a file on every world leader. I'm sure the United States, they have a very long file on Putin, right? They have a file, where did he grow up? What makes him tick? What makes him think? What makes him tick? What are his strong points? What are his weaknesses? Let's learn about his family. Let's learn about his relatives. What foods does he like? What kind of entertainment does he enjoy? What type of activities does he engage in?
Profiling.
Every nation has many, many people who work full time profiling people who are either threats or partners in their agenda. And that's exactly what Moav did. They profiled Moshe Rabbeinu. That's exactly what it says here in Rashi. Over here we have a nation called Klal Yisrael. They are a threat to us. Who is their leader? Moshe. We need to profile Moshe. We need to know what makes him tick. We need to know what kind of food he likes, what kind of entertainment he enjoys, what he does in his free time, who are his relatives. It's exactly what it says here. Amru manhigam shel elu, the leader of these Jewish people, b'midyon niskadel. So where do we get the files? Where do we get the files upon the leader? This man Moshe is 80, is now 120 years old. This event took place towards the end of the Jewish people's stay in the Midbar. This man is 120 years old. Where do we get the files on this, the profile of this man? So we go back to the source. You have to get a special award for coming in this weather. Okay? A special award for coming in the snowstorm. So Nishal Mehem Ma Midaso. So let's go to Midian. That's where Moshe Rabbeinu grew up. Moshe Rabbeinu, we know that he left. He escaped from Egypt and spent the bulk of his life until he was 80 years old. How old was he when Moshe Rabbeinu? How old was Moshe Rabbeinu? I don't remember. I'm sure you can figure out when Moshe Rabbeinu he left, when the mice escaped Egypt.
Yeah, well, the Sefer Yosha says he was 18.
18.
That's what it says.
18 years old.
It's accurate,
and he was there until he was 80 years old. Okay, so he was there for a long time.
He married Tzipora when he was 68.
And he was in the dungeon in Midian. Amru Lohem. So yes. They went to the source. They went to Midian to get the files on Moshe Rabbeinu. See, this is like mamish. This is like mamish espionage. This is like mamish.
A dossier
on what's Moshe. Amru Lohem. So they told him the secret is, after analyzing Moshe, the success of this man all relates to his koyach hadibur. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu was a kvapeh, okay, was the koyach hadibur. Af anus, that's Moshe Rabbeinu, the koyach hadibur. Oh, if that's the koyach hadibur, af anus. So therefore, the way we're going to interact, we're going to defeat him, overcome him, we're also going to go out with the koyach hadibur. Af anu novalem the koyach adam shekoyach hadibur. Who is the best man out there that can curse the Jewish people? Who has the koyach hadibur among the umos olam that can stand as a antagonist, counterbalance Moshe Rabbeinu? Okay, isn't it a fascinating story over here? We need the profile. We're going to go to Midian. That's where the records are, and they discover the koyach was koyach b'piv. Okay, now let's ask the question, Rabbeisai, where in Midian do we find that Moshe Rabbeinu had a koyach b'piv? What are you talking about? What's going on? What's going on in Rashi? We got a problem. The Jewish people. Okay, let's get specific. Who's the leader? Moshe. What's the profile? Let's go to Midian. Midian, they show, the document says the koyach of Moshe is the koyach apeh. What? Koyach apeh? What are you talking about? What happened in Midian? Nothing. He married.
He convinced his wife to marry.
Oh,
that was the other way around.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not a joke, you smell. Okay. What's going on here? Koyach hadibur? Koyach hadibur?
So maybe the opposite. Like Moshe cannot speak. So let's find one who can good speak. Ask Hashem.
So that's why my own feeling was that Moshe just was a man of action. It was difficult for him to talk. I don't like to talk. I like to do.
Yeah,
I'm a man of action.
So let's, what about the
What happened in Midian? All that happened in Midian was Moshe comes to Midian. He is by a well, and the men are harassing these young girls.
No,
Moshe, Bayakam. Oh, let's listen. But let's talk about Midian.
The Torah says Moshe wrote son Yisrael Midian. So he assumed this whole Meister.
So where's the Dibor? What Dibor? What koyach adibor? Hashem comes to him by the burning bush, and Hashem says, "I'm recruiting you."
Right.
That's it.
So there's a dialogue going on because
that's the koyach adibor. The koyach adibor is a dialogue. A dialogue between Hashem. Hashem was the one who took the initiative. Hashem comes to Moshe. Moshe, I'm recruiting you for my service. I'm recruiting you. Uncle Sam needs some good men. Here you are. You're gonna work. You're gonna be inducted. Gius. What?
So also the
koyach
of interaction between
Kodesh Baruch,
who's the
koyach
of
Dibur? Koyach HaBipeh. Where in Midian is there koyach HaBipeh? Amru Lohem in koyach Ella Bipiv. They brought out the book, the documents. That's the fancy word, the dossier. What is that called? The dossier? Yeah. It says there koyach. Midian, he's here for how many years? What koyach HaBipeh? So I want to say two things. Number one is, what it means is, how did he get here? It's not, when they look at Midian, you know, you're a newcomer, you're an immigrant, you're a refugee. You come into a new country, how did you get here? When he came to Midian, no, there probably was border control. There was probably a wall, and you had to go get permission to come into the country. They did research. Midian did research, who is this man that wants to now come into our country? And they discovered that he's running around, he's a refugee. He's seeking asylum in Egypt, because what happened? Because he killed an Egyptian. How did he kill the Egyptian? Hal Hargeini Ato Oimer. The whole Maisa was, he goes out, he sees this Egyptian who wants to go and kill a Jew. Because the whole Maisa with his wife, the whole story with his wife, he went and he was Ma'anes, his wife. They got into a fight. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rashi says, to the koyach of the Shem HaMefoirash. He just said Hashem's name and the Egyptian dropped dead. And he looked around and he thought everyone was watching. Little did he know that the NSA had a drone in the air. They were watching. And the next day, along comes Dasan Va'aviram, Rasha, Lama Sakereyecha. So Moshe, so they said to him, you know, Moshe, we have access to the drone, and we saw what you did yesterday. We saw the koyach adibor. The koyach adibor is where you went, Hal Hargeini Ato Oimer, you're going to kill me the same way you killed the Egyptian. And Moshe, Achei Noida Hadavar, and Moshe made his great escape. He comes to Midian. He comes to the border guards. I want to seek asylum here in Midian. How? Why do you want to seek asylum? We don't just take in people for no reason. You have to have a good reason. He tells them the whole story. Okay, you can come in. So right away, from day one, there's a record. From day one, there are records in Midian. He the koyach hadibor. But what is the significance of this? So first, you have to understand something. It doesn't just mean the Moshe Rabbeinu. He said magic, hocus pocus. They recognize that the Shechina is Shoira and Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu says the Shem Hashem, it has an effect. You know, I can say the Shem Hashem the whole day, Rachmani or Rachas Hashem, nothing's going to happen. Moshe Rabbeinu, an Ish Kodesh, when he says the Shem Hashem, things happen. So right away, immediately they appreciated, we have here a very holy man who knows when he's connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and when he says the Shem Hashem, things happen. So that's right away, they got record. But I say, I want to say something even more important. There's a more important. It's totally zebezeh. When Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem recruits Moshe Rabbeinu, we know very little about Moshe Rabbeinu in the beginning. There's not that much. It's very, very little. He goes and he drives away. He drives away the shepherds. He saves Sipora. When Hashem recruits Moshe, what does he do? He goes back to his father-in-law and he says, "Father-in-law, Dad, I'm leaving. I'm packing up and I'm going. I'm joining the army, I'm joining the Marines, I'm leaving." And Rashi says some very beautiful words, and Moshe Rabbeinu goes back to Yisro, in the beginning of Parshas Yisro. Let's find it over here. Not Shemot. What am I thinking? I'm all mixed up. Page 159. Okay, Shishi, Vayelech Moshe, Vayoshev Eliezer Chosno. Vayoymelo, Moshe talks. He actually talks. You don't find Moshe actually talking so much over here. Moshe, he's talking to me, besides Hashem. Elcha, I'm going to go, Nov Yashuv Elachasher, Bemitran, the area, Haidam Chayim. What does Rashi say? Vayoshev, what do we need this pasuk in the Torah? The whole pasuk is superfluous. What do we need to tell us this? Teaching a very little lesson. Litol Rishus, Moshe Rabbein Vaderech Eretz. He had derech eretz, he had good midos tovos. Sherei nishbalo, he swore to him that he would not leave. Shlo yozuz mi midyon kim birushusoy. And now Moshe Rabbeinu comes to take Rishus. Hashem tells you to do something. You have to go back to your fellow men and ask permission. Yes. Yes, you do. Because it's Derech Eretz. These are the only two things that we learn about. And this is a chiddush. You live in a Goyish society today. Ish Esrei Eyuch Chayim Bilo. Who has Derech Eretz today? It's either it's legal or it's illegal. And if it's illegal, just don't get caught. Unfortunately, many societies, that's what it's all about. Derech Eretz? If it's either, what's the law? What's the law? You want to, I should go Lefnim Mishras, then I should Yashras? If it's legal, then I'll do it. If it's illegal, I won't do it. Unless I won't get caught, I can get away with it. I'll even do it when it's not illegal. Derech Eretz? Moshe Rabbeinu, he taught Midian. He made a mark on Midian. Just because you can get away with it, doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. You have to have Derech Eretz, Kodma Latorah. This was in his file. When Moab wanted to deal with Klal Yisrael and they wanted to understand the nature of their leader, Moshe, and the place where he spent most of his youth was in Midian, he grew up. What did it say about in his file? The success of this man is Bepif. And that includes two things. He's a holy man. When he says the Shem HaMefirash, when he talks about God, he's a koyach of dibur of relating his the sanctity that comes out of his mouth relating to God is significant. And number two, he's a person that's derech eretz. Derech eretz always comes out of the koyach adibur. You say good morning, you say good night, you speak well to a person. The bulk of derech eretz is to the koyach adibur. Oh, the koyach adibur. Now we understand. Someone who has Derech Eretz, the Koyach HaDibor, is a person who can be mispalel for the safety and security of Klal Yisrael. They don't need the best weapons. You can use the old second-hand weapons you buy in the junkyard. They'll also be good enough for defense. Because their leader is a man who has perfected the Koyach HaDibor, and that Koyach HaDibor will now serve as a tool, a potent tool of tefillah to protect them. So the only way we can counteract that is seeking the biggest world expert on Klala. He will come to our aid. Okay, so that I think is a very important idea to focus on this Rashi. The Koyach Moshe Rabbeinu, as his stake, recognized the Nidois, Toivois, which is Nitilas. We say in the davening every single day, this obviously is a very big deal. And maybe to us, Baruch Hashem, and maybe most people, what's the big deal? Unfortunately, Baruch Hashem, it's good. If it's not a big deal, if this part is not a big deal to you, then you're pretty good. It means you're already in the mode of Derech Eretz. Every day in davening, when we say Kedusha, Kodesh, 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 Baruch Hashem, Koimo, how do we introduce this? V'chula mikablim aleihem ol malchus shamayim v'noisnim rishus zelozeh. Lahaktish liyotsham benachas shuach v'safa v'ruda uvinima kiddusha kolam keechad onim yom v'yira. Before each of the malachim could say kadosh kadosh kadosh, I could say baruch kivod. Then noitel rishos. Even though this is my tafkid, I'm only been created in order to sing to Hakadosh Baruch Hu to give kiddusha. So what? So what? This is my mission. This is my tafkid. This is derech eretz. Noisnim rishos zel ozeh. I don't want to step on your wings. Okay, I don't want to step on your toes. I don't want to. You have to have Derech Eretz. It's a very, very big deal. This was the Koyach of Moshe. It was recognized by the Umos Olam. His Koyach HaDibur was sacred. Memela, his Koyach HaTfila would protect Klal Yisrael. And he had no choice but to counteract that by going and hiring someone who had a Koyach of Klal. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, this I saw, this is a short idea, but it resonates with me. Simple idea. Is when they come to recruit Bilam, they promise him covet. Ki chabed achabedcha ma'od. The way to a man's heart is not through his stomach. I'm sorry to tell you. What?
This man's heart.
Every man's heart. Covet. Can't imagine how covet, the ultimate bribe is to give covet, honor. Okay, people, what's the proof? Because after you have it all, right, after you work your whole life, sweat, bleed to squeeze out a couple of $1 million. What do you do with the money? You buy covet. You put your name on a building, right? What do you do after you have it all? You buy covet. There's a lot of truth to this. Okay, so it says they come over here, but I say I'm going to show you that it's not true. That's what I'm trying to show you. That's not exactly true. It's all there. Two different worlds. There's the world of make believe, and then there's there's the world of make belief, two worlds of make belief. Let's see what I mean in one moment. So they come to him. Okay, he goes on to say he goes there. Let me find the psukim. Okay, he doesn't want to come. He goes and he tells the people, "I don't want to come. Sorry, go home."
The first time.
Okay, so they leave. So Balak thought the reason why he doesn't want to come was because he did not get the people that came to visit. The people that came are not mechubadim. They're not distinguished enough. So he sent rabim v'nichbadim me'ele. And here he says to Vayavuel Bilam Vayamu Lokoyam Abalavim Tzipar Losim El Meloch Elai Ki Chabed Achabed Chamo. There's no talk of money. Do you notice? There's no talk of money. The reward is nothing more than kavod from the very, very beginning. Whatever you want to do, we'll do for you. Just come and curse. Now, who is the one that delivered this message? The one that delivered the message was the sore. Okay, vayosef oid balak shaloyach sorin rabim v'nichbodim me'ele. Then, in the next pasuk, it says, two psukim later, vayan bilam vayoymer el avdei volak. What's going on over here? Who were the ones that came? Obviously, there was an entourage. There was a committee. Obviously, they came with a big committee, and among the committee, there was security personnel, and there were people in charge of the hotels, people in charge of, you know, their itinerary, everyone. And then there was the ambassador. There was all the princes, and then there were also servants. There were servants that came along to do the schlepping, you know, to carry the luggage, to drive the car, to fly the helicopter. There were servants that came along. There was a whole crew. So the Sarim, they come off the plane or the red carpet and they say, "Bilam, please come to Balak. We're gonna give you cover. You're gonna fly in Air Force One. We're gonna roll the red carpet. The cameras are gonna be rolling. It's gonna be unbelievable. YouTube, the whole world's gonna be watching." He calls over the guy who drives the limo and it says, "Listen, go back to Balak, the Eved. Go back to Balak and tell him, imitainly Balak meloy vesai chesev v'zohav lo ucha lavar al pi Hashem elokoi lasoiz kitano gedola." Who mentioned money? Who's talking about money? It's covet. It's all about covet. Isn't that what the Sarim? Balak, Balaam is no fool. He says, it's all about money. For the world, public, it's about covet. But to the avodim, the slaves, the channel of communication says, "Well, you think I'm doing this for free? You think if I'm going to come and do this, besides the cover that we're going to show the world, you're going to pay me millions, billions of dollars. But guess what? Even all the money is not going to work this time because Hashem told me I can't do it. I can't because the fact that he has to say this is telling you what he really wants. I want the kavod, that's right. But I'm not going to talk about mammon to the sarim, because whatever you say to the sarim is on record. There's a hot mic. Okay, there's on record. I'm not going to go talk about money, but the money under the table, there has to be money handed over. And unfortunately, even though you're under the table, there's an understanding, you're going to give me a lot of money, I still can't do this because Hashem does not allow me to do this. And indeed, at the very, very end, when the whole plan doesn't work, again, it's all about money. It's not about covet.
That's what the Gemara says. He makes the example of Ephraim, the same thing.
All about money. At the very, very end, in Perichov Dal, Parsuk Yidal, Yatob, Rachel, Mukhamecha, Marti, Achabed, Achabed. So here, look again, we have the same idea, the two different ideas. Bilam, as a Balak says too, he publicly tweets, and he says, "Amarti kabira chabed chavinei menuach Hashem mikovod. Hashem denied your kavod." What does Bilam say? Balak, it's not about the kavod. We all know that it's all about the money. Vayomer Bilam el Balak, haloi gam el malachecha asher sholachta elai, your messengers, not to the sarim. Dibarti lemar imitain li volok milove so kesev vizahov. Lo uchal lavor espi Hashem lasois teva ira milibi Hashem deber Hashem osu adaber. What's going on over here? The answer is the way the world works. It works. There are always two things. There's always what to, for the cameras, and there's always what's going on behind the scenes. For the cameras, it's all about kavod. It's all about being honorable, doing the right thing, being gracious. Being good to humanity. It's about the environment. It's all about kavod. But under the table, what's really going on, it's all about money. It's all about how are we going to profit. What's in it for me? The oil, and we all know technology, the global warming. It is very important that there should be global warming, because global warming is a mega $1 trillion industry for the world. The world needs new technology, new things to keep the economy going. If there is global warming, do you know how much money? How much money that is? How much technology has to be invented? How many jobs are created? How many new products are created? It's unbelievable. So global warming, it's not just about global warming. Is there really global warming? Is it not global warming? You know, that's irrelevant. It's really irrelevant. It's really irrelevant if it's true or not. Some say it is true. They had a new article recently. It's a major scale. If you read the news, is that all the temperatures, they say the last couple of years, the temperature has been going up. It's not true. They've been playing around with the thermometers. they've manipulated. It's a read the article. They manipulated the thermometers.
They don't believe it because Gore flies around.
All right, listen. Maybe it's true. No one really knows. Yeah. I've read the biggest mumchim say, we don't know. Maybe yeah. Maybe not. Who's to tell? You can't really tell. But irrelevant. It's not relevant. It is a very big milo that there should be global warming. And at least mainly because money. It will stimulate the economy, world economies, in a way that's unimaginable that we could otherwise not possibly do. Oh, but the world, you care about the world. Yeah, for the cameras, ki chabed achabedcha me'od. That's for the sorim v'nichbadim. But for the avodim, but for the melachim, the messengers, the people who work behind the scenes, there's no talk about COVID. What's really going on behind the scenes is money. Alts is Geld. Everything is all about money. Follow the money. Follow the money.
They're taking the money away from.
Okay, whatever it is. This is not my expertise. This is not my understanding. I just want to. I found this. Yeah.
It's a bit like it's a negotiating point. I can't do this for all the money in the world. That's an opening.
Exactly. It's a self understood that. Well, you give me COVID.
Because in the end, he wants his payday.
In the end, it's all about money. That's what it's saying. When it comes to a guy, especially when it comes to a guy. When it comes to a guy, it's all about money.
What about hatred of the Jews?
What? Jews also, right? Especially Jews. What?
What about hatred of the Jews? Mamish himself, he got up in his morning.
That's also, he hates Jews, but he wants to make profit. Look at the Nazis. They became multi-billionaires from they looted all the wealth of the Jews. Of course, the Hayaluch of Hayaluch, the whole thing started with hatred for the Jews. But when over here, I want to point out, over here, there is, it's not my fault. I read this somewhere. I don't remember where I saw this. One of the Sfarim I saw this is that, look what's going on over here. They're talking, the Sodom and Nechbadim to the public are talking about COVID. And then the Avodim and the Malachim are talking about money. So what is it?
But the answer that he gave later, when all this failed, he couldn't curse him. So what is it? He gives the public an answer. You know what? Send your princesses out.
Okay, that's a separate story, but we're dealing over here with the Musar Haskell to take out of this parsha is that whenever you go and you see in the news, in world events, you see world leaders getting up in front of the cameras and they're talking and they're giving cover to one another and we're going to solve all the world's problems, and it's very good. No one's saying it's very bad, but you should know behind closed doors, it's all about money. I mean, that's how it is. What? That is the mitzvahs, and you should not be fooled. Now, by the way, you mentioned I want to mention one other important thing. You just mentioned over here. What happened? Just going back to what we said before. What happened at the end of the parasha? He failed. But Bilam was a failure. He was unable to curse Klal Yisrael. So what did he do at the very end? He gave advice to Balak: send out your young girls, and they should not be dressed appropriately, and they should go with the Avodah Zarah, and they should entice the young boys to to have illicit relations. And indeed, he was successful. 24,000 people, there was a magefa, they were nichshol in arayos, and 24,000 people died. So, okay, now Rashi says something very critical. Rashi says, what happened when this happened, when Moshe Rabbeinu gave them Musar, how dare you go and have relations with these non-Jewish women, they said to Moshe, Moshe, who are you married to? Who are you married to, Moshe? You married to the daughter, to a Midyani, Midyanis, the daughter of a Yisrael. She's not Jewish. What gave you the right to marry her? If you're telling us that we may not marry these women of Midian, what gave you the right to marry her? What do you learn from that? The whole parsha began. So simply, that was just that. Simply, if you learn the Rashi, that's just a side point. That was just an accident. That was just, you know, that's not a very relevant point of a important part of what happened with the advice that Bilam gave to Balak. His main advice was Hashem, he is a God that hates Zima, caused them to be Nichshol and Gil Yarayos, and they will arouse Hashem's wrath, it will weaken the Jewish people, and then you'll be able to overcome them in war. And it just so happened to be, when Moshe tried to stop him from doing this, they challenged Moshe, Moshe, why are you any different than us? You went and also married a non-Jewish woman. No, Adarabba, the whole parsha begins, connect the beginning of the parasha to the end of the parasha. The beginning of the parasha was, we have a problem. The Jewish people are a problem. The way to get to the Jewish people is the leader. We have to analyze the Moshion Shel Yisron. Let's go to Midian and get the record. What's the word again? The dossier. And what did it say in the dossier? Well, Koichai Bepiv, it also says that he's married to a non-Jewish woman. So first they start on the dossier with Koichai Bepiv. Let's hire the world-renowned expert who's also Koichai Bepiv. None other than Bilam. That doesn't work. Let's go back to the dossier. What else does it say over here? Moshe, we have some dirt. We dug up some dirt about Moshe Rabbeinu. He's married to a non-Jewish woman. How are we going to take him down? You know how we're going to take him down? We're going to cause the young Jewish boys to intermarry, to have relations with non-Jewish women, and Moshe is going to give them Musar, and then they'll say back, oh, you're giving us Musar, what about you? Soif Maisa b'machshava tchila. The goal of the advice was Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not, if you learn the pasuk, it's simple, you read the mefarshim, so it's derech agav. Derech agav is like a nice medrash. It's a nice medrash you find somewhere that they went and they said to Moshe, Moshe, you're married to a Kushis, you're married to the daughter of Midian. No, this is the ikor. The whole thing was all to undermine Moshe, because that's what it says in the beginning of the parasha. The end of the parasha goes back to the beginning of the parasha. The beginning of the parasha is, what is the koyach of the Moshion Shalelu? What's Moshe Rabbeinu? What's his koyach? Let's go to Midian. What does it say there? He's married to Bas Paro. Oh, you're allowed to do that? Mimela, this was a clever technique to be mevazet, to take down the Moshion Shel Yisrael. That's what's really going on in the parasha. Okay, that was just,
one. Wait, it's Balak then Tzipor. I'm just wondering if there's an allusion to it, the fact Moshe is married to
Tzipora. Maybe. Very interesting. That sound, that there must be something to it. There has to be. I don't know. I didn't see anything. It's very good.
Aaron, they told Isha Kushi to talk about his wife.
Who? Aaron? No, Aaron.
And Miriam.
Not Aaron. I was not only Sheva. Not Aaron. Aaron was.
No, they mentioned. It's mentioned in that whole incident. When
Miriam complained. Yeah.
Miriam complained. Miriam complained against Moshe. Miriam and Aaron against Moshe, but they were not married. They were not married. Okay, now let's go to another idea. I have in my notes. I probably told this to you ideally last year, but it really resonates with me. It's a beautiful idea. When Bilam tries to curse Klal Yisrael, it doesn't work. He tries three times. And every time he fails, what does he say to Balak? You know, the reason why we fell was because we're not in the right location. Let's change locations. Let me see what it says over here in the first pasuk. Vayelech, they go to, they build a mizbech. Vayizbach Balak Bokav Etzoin. Okay, and then it doesn't work. Hashem gives some words of bracha. Vayoymer, Balak, Bilam, me'osisoli. Lokoiv oivai lekach tichvinei berach deborech vayan vayomer haloi es asher yosim Hashem b'fi oisoy yeshmol gaber fine vayomer lo bolak lechona etl mokoy macher. You know why? Do you know why you have failed? It's because we're not in the right mokoy. This mokoy, the shul. The shul is not the right. The church is not the right one. Let's go el mokoyim acher, asher tirenu misham efes katzeu siriyah v'chulu siriyah v'kavim misham v'chulu v'chulu vayikachayu sedei tzoyfim, and they build now vayiven shiva mizbechois. They build now more mizbechois and they build more korbanos. Doesn't work. Nachamol doesn't work. So what happens? Vayoymer bolak try third try el bilam l'chono ekachacha. El Mokoyim Acher. Let's now go to another place. And you'll try to curse them from a different location. Ulai Yishar B'yenei Elokim V'kabos L'mishon V'yikach Bolok Esbilam Reish HaPa'or HaNishkaf. Indeed, they go to a third place. And again, it doesn't work. So I saw in a Sefer, okay, I don't remember the name of the Sefer, I saw this idea. This idea is a beautiful idea. Let's look at Avraham Avinu, who was mispalel for the wicked people of Sidon. Avram was mispalel. Hashem tells Avram Avinu, how could I not tell you? You're going to one day inherit the entire world. I want to let you know that I'm going to destroy Sidom. Avram says, Hashem, you can't do that. Hasishbait kol ha'aretz. Are you going to do away with the tzaddikim? Ulai, maybe there are 50 tzaddikim. Sorry, Avraham, there are not. 45, 40, 30, 20, no, 10. Nope, not even 10. Nope. Moshe Avraham Avinu continues to be mispalel multiple times. And then at the very end, Avram was also not successful. Yet, Avram Avinu never left his mokim. And in fact, even when it says twice, there are two psukim that emphasize the mokim of Avram Avinu in this event of being mispalel for the people of Sodom. Vayelech vayoshav el mikoymoy, that's one. But at the very, very end, after he failed, again, he failed multiple times, he still returned to the mokim. Vayelech Hashem kasher kilul daber l'Avram v'Avraham shav l'mkoymoy. He returned to his mokim, which has many levels of interpretation, but on one level of interpretation is, doesn't matter, I'm going to continue to go and do my avodas Hashem and be mispalel. Okay, this is the Jewish, not Jewish mikra, but the Mefarshim, they make this connection over here. Avraham davened every day. Avraham davened to Hashem every single day, three times a day. Here was an emergency. An emergency, they call everyone into the shul to say Tehillim, because Hashem is going to destroy Sodom. So Avram goes to the base medrash to be mispalel. And Hashem says no. Nachamo, 45 people, no. 40, 30, 20, 10, no. Multiple sessions. Hashem goes away, he goes out to destroy Sodom. And what happens the next morning? The next morning, Avraham walks in 6 o'clock in the morning to get ready for Shacharis. Where? Avraham, Shav L'mkomo, in the same place where Hashem said to him, no. Why wasn't Avraham as clever as Bilam and Balak? When Bilam and Balak, when they saw that Hashem said no, when they tried to curse Klal Yisrael, let's go somewhere else. This is not a good place. Let's try the Koyach HaTfilah, let's try the Koyach of Klala, which is the parallel to Koyach HaTfilah. Let's go to another place. Doesn't work. Hashem says, no, we'll go to another place. They did. That's what they did. So why did Avraham Avinu do this? The answer is, the problem is not with the place. The problem is with me. The problem, this is the Musa Haskel. By a Goy, by Bilam, Bolak, person who's not with the program, When they don't succeed, they brainwash themselves thinking, you know why I didn't succeed? Not doing me. I'm perfect. I am the totality of perfection. It's the mokoyim. You're the problem. The environment is the problem. It's my pre-1A teacher who did not give me an apple when I was hungry. That had a ripple effect my whole life. I'm a broken person. I didn't get the ice cream cone.
What about the whole hopping?
It's everyone else's problem. No one takes responsibility for themselves. This is the nature of Balaam and Bilak. It didn't work. It's your problem, this place is no good, that place is no good, we keep on going from place to place to place. No, no, the reason why it's not working is because Hashem doesn't want to curse Klal Yisrael. And look at the contrast. Avraham Avinu, he was mispalel. I want something, Hashem. It doesn't work. Did Avraham go to a new place? He didn't go to a new place. And in fact, when it says in the will of the next pasuk, the will of the main pasuk, the Chazal use the to use is a little bit further. Pasuk chafches. Vayashkef al pnei Sidon va'amoyra v'al pnei kol eretz akikar v'yar v'inei ol akidah haaretz.
You know, that's the one before. The one before.
Vayashkef ma'avim ba'boikel lahalam mokoyim asher omad shom es pnei Hashem. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. The problem is not with you, it's with me. This is the Jewish way. The Jewish way is to take responsibility for yourself. Don't blame everyone else for your problems. It might be true. Some people are deserving of blame. Make no mistake about it. But get over it. Get over it. Move, go forward. Go forward and don't dwell, and let Hashem take care of all of the loose ends. You just do your part and move on. Yeah. Mishane makom, mishane mazel. No, you're saying good. Yeah, you're really saying good. So obviously there has to be a balance. There has to be a balance. There's a balance. Yeah.
Always contrasted with
Bilam. Right, in Hanan.
Okay. And in the end, it also says, by Bilam, by Yehoshua.
He learned a lesson. Maybe it means the drush. Maybe it means after everything's said and done, maybe it's a beautiful drush. Or Nehemiah is saying at the very end, it says, by Bilam, he went back to his makam. Maybe there is some degree of learning the lesson. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, let's look at the Haftarah. This is a very beautiful idea. I saw this idea in Rabbi Schlesinger. I forgot his name. Schlesinger. Rabbi Schlesinger.
From
Muncie? No, not from Muncie. From Eretz Yisrael. Not the one from Muncie, the one from Eretz Yisrael. He wrote many, many svarim. And in his latest Sefer, he writes, he brings out the following, and he quotes a fascinating Zohar. You can live your whole life and not even know that there's such a Zohar. It's always in Parshas Bichu Kaisa. It all dwells upon what it says in the Haftarah. Okay, there's also halach. It's a halachic issue as well, which the place can deal with, and I really have not seen a satisfactory answer to the problem. What am I referring to? Let me first turn to the page in the Haftarah of Parshas Korach. Balak. What am I? I'm all mixed up. Parshas Balak. Okay, Parashas Balak, what does it say in the Haftarah? Hashem says, Ami, it's in Pasuk Hey. It's in Micha, Perek, Vav, Pasuk Hey, Ami, my nation. Hashem is speaking. Hashem is addressing Klal Yisrael. Zichorno, I want you to remember, my Yoatz, Balak, Melech Moav. The advice, the counsel of Balak, Melech Moav, the advice that was given to Bilam, to curse Klal Yisrael, Ume Ono Oso Bilam, Ben Baar. And the response basically was that I can't curse. I can't. You can want. You can pant and go into a rage about what I should do, but I can't do whatever Hashem does not want me to do. Ume onu oso bilam ben baar min hashitim aragilgo lemandas. What happened in these locations where they went and they moved from place to place to find the ideal location to curse Klal Yisrael, and look how they were unsuccessful, only because the Kodesh Baruch Hu did not get angry at this point in time. Leman das tzidkos Hashem. When you will reflect upon what happened, you will then realize the righteousness of Hashem, how kind Hashem is to Klal Yisrael. Now Micha here is addressing Klal Yisrael, and he's telling them, Zichorno. Now, from a halachic point of view, we have in the back of our siddur, after shachris, sheish zichiros. There are six mitzvahs that we are required to remember. It doesn't mean every single day. It means occasionally, once a year, zichiras mechias amolek, and to remember Miriam, what happened, Miriam, and yitzias mitzrayim, v'chulu. Okay, there are six mitzvahs which we must remember. Why don't the Moinei HaMitzvahs, those people who count the mitzvahs, why don't they tell us that there are seven mitzvahs? It's the Beferish HaPasuk in Navi Micha that tells us to remember what happened. So you'll give an answer. It's an answer is that it's not from Sanchumish. It's from the Nevi'im. So it's not the same level. The Sheish Zechirois are mitzvahs that are in the Torah, Chamish Echum Shei Torah. They have more of a bang, more of an emphasis, so we focus on those. From Nevi'im, no, it's a good thing, but it's not something which is on the same Madrego, so we do not include it. Some say we do. Some say that we have, by saying, Matov Olecha Yaakov, Mishra Secha Yisrof, you say that pasuk every single day, you have fulfilled the mitzvah. Some say you mechuyev takatrim, and at least occasionally if you say matovu, you are fulfilling what it says over here, zuchor, because that is a pasuk that is taken out of this parshas, the bracha, that Balak, the Bilam, said about Klal Yisrael, matovu Yaakov, Mishra Yisrael, so it's a reminder of the entire story of Bilam and Balak. But it's a very good kasha. Now let me tell you what it says in the Zohar. The Zohar says, the Zohar is speaking in the name of Hashem. He says and Hashem says as follows: My nation Klal Yisrael, every so often they complain to me and they say, Zichor lanu Hashem, mehoyu lanu. Hashem, why are we in Galus so long? We say this in the Kinos. In fact, I think this is the second Kin. The second we say today, we say the whole motif of the Kina is the loy zacharta. You didn't remember this. You didn't remember. We complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how dare you do this to us? How dare you destroy the Beis Hamikdash and send us to exile? The loy zacharta. You didn't remember this. You didn't remember the Akedah. You didn't remember Kriyas Yamsuf. You didn't remember Matan Torah. You didn't remember Vachul. Vachul is a long kina. We're always bitterly complaining. You didn't, Hashem, how can you have done this to us? The loy zacharta. So Hashem says, my nation, they're very good complainers. They say to me the whole day, Zichor Hashem me hoyolanu. Zichor, the Zohar quotes three psukim and that begin with Zichor. Zichor eis hasha'osa edoim. When Edom, I remember the pasuk, Oru ad hayisodba Edom, they destroyed the base hamilus to the foundation. There are a few psukim there that begin with the word Zichor. They use this expression. And Hashem says, the people, they just don't get it. They don't understand. They think, I forgot. Do you know why I have chosen to forget and not remember? It's midah keneged midah. It's because you, the problem is not with me, Hashem, it's with you. You have forgotten what it says, Zichor na mayatz Balak melech Moav, Ben Ba'ar. And isn't it amazing? From all the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can respond, that's what it says in the Zohar, Parashas Bichul Koisai. Parashas Bichul Koisai, Hashem responds to our bitter complaints, why don't you remember us? I don't remember you, midah keneged midah, because you don't remember me. Not just stam, there are many things you can say about it, not the sheish zechiros, not because you don't say every single day the sheish zechiros, it's because you don't follow what Micha told you to remember what happened, the Maisa of Balak and Bilam. That's the Zohar. And the Zohar comes to an end. Now what in the world does this mean? What in the world, what's the deeper meaning behind this? And Shlomo says another kasha. Chazal tell us that really, Chazal wanted to insert the entire parsha of Balak and Bilam in the Kriya Shema. Can you imagine? Davening would take at least another 5 minutes. That in addition to saying Shema Yisrael, we also have to say the whole parsha. And the simple reason is because it says there, Shochav Ka'ari, we lie down like a lion. Ka'ari, I don't remember the pasuk by heart, I'm not good with this, but it says there's a pasuk in the bracha that Bilam gave Klal Yisrael, there's a reference that when we lie down like a lion, and we wake up, we're like a lion. Ka'ari yisnasa, we awaken like a lion, and that alludes to Kriyashma. We recite Kriya Shema when we go to sleep and when we awake. And we awake, we recite Kriya Shema, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Therefore, because there is this reference, therefore Chazal want to put this entire parasha in the Nusach HaTzfilah. And before we recite Kriya Shema, or after we recite Kriya Shema, we should basically read the entire parasha, come out the entire parasha of Balak. So why don't we do it? The Gemara says, why don't we do it? Tircha de Tzibur. It's just too much. So the Gemara says, just say well, one pasuk. Just say the one pasuk. Shachav kari uchari
uche. Is not so.
Twice the word ari?
No, it's different.
One alludes to.
Okay, whatever it is. So why don't we say? So the Gemara says, called psuka gloy paskin moshe anan loy paskinan.
Shachav kari
uchalavi. Uchalavi mi yisnasa. Uchalavi. two different types of lions. So why don't we say, because Chazal answered, the reason why we don't say is because it's all or nothing. We don't do that. We don't go and just put a pasuk into davening. If we're going to do it, we're going to do it right. If we're not going to do it right, we're not going to do it. Okay, that itself is a limud musa. Fine. That's what's going on here. What's going on over here? You want to go find one pasuk? You go and put the entire parasha. Why is it so critical to put this into Kriya Shema? There has to be a deeper understanding of why Chazal would want to put this into Kriya Shema, and a deeper understanding. What exactly does the Zohar mean when the Zohar says "Mida Keneged Mida"? So Rabbi Schlesinger explains the following yisoid. Beautiful idea, amazing yisoid. All of the Sheish Zechirois, they were eyewitnesses. In fact, the entire religion of Yadus, contrast to Christianity and Islam, is a religion based upon being an eyewitness. At High Har Sinai, 3 million people stood around Har Sinai, and they all witnessed with their own eyes the Ribbono Shel Olam come down from Shemayim and give Klal Yisrael the Torah. Christianity, God revealed himself to one person. He's the child of God. How do you know all this? How do you know that God revealed himself and told you? Trust me. I'm telling you, just believe me. Muhammad had a revelation, right? Muhammad, a whole religion. There are billions of people that follow Islam. It all comes from Muhammad. Muhammad, who is Muhammad? He's a person. He had a revelation. God came to him and told him all these things. Really? Do you have any witnesses to back you up? Do you have any proof? No. Trust me. What? Even the horse. Oh, the whole religion is based upon, you gotta believe me. That's quite a stretch. Quite a stretch. Christianity and Islam are all based upon one person telling you that God came to them and told them all of these things, and therefore this is the way the world should exist.
It's also based on miracles that he allegedly did.
Okay, but it's also God came to him. God came, whatever. I'm not familiar, but Yadus, the very start. Okay, this is what they teach in anti-missionary school, anti-missionary 101. The very first you saw in any book that teaches you to deal with anti-missionary work is Judaism is based upon an event that there were 3 million witnesses to this event. We have faith that our father, grandfather, great-grandfather, going back, are not liars, and they were at Har Sinai, 600,000 men over the age of 20, which means there were approximately 3 million people, women and children, and men, all we saw the divine revelation where Hashem has selected the Atem Tihiyuli Mamleches Koyhanim V'Goy Kadosh. Okay, that all starts with that. And by extension, let's not, I gave that as a mashal. And by extension, the Sheish Zechirois, remember what Amalek did to you. Well, we saw what they did to us. We were in the desert and we were under attack. They attacked us and there was a war and people died. They were eyewitnesses. Remember Miriam. Well, remember, Miriam had Saras. She had Saras. People saw her. They was confirmed. She was a sick person. They put her away. They quarantined her in the tent for 14 days, whatever it was. She was a sick person. Okay, what's another example? Go through this. There were eyewitnesses. Everything that happened in this world, there were eyewitnesses. Even the Mabul, even the Dar HaFlaga. There were eyewitnesses that go back all the way to the time when it didn't happen. This is not based upon. The Sheish Zechiros are all based upon events that happened. The mice of Balak and Bilam, guess what? If we wouldn't have this Parashas Balak, we would never know. This was a private conversation between Balak and Bilam. Hey, there are people, there are servants, there's Sarim. This is not our world. We know what happened all over the world in ancient history. We know, and this is before the days of the NSA and all the spies, satellites going on, can tell you what's going on right here in this very room. We're dealing over here in ancient times. Klal Yisrael is a small little nation. They're traveling in the desert. They know what's going on. Midian, Balak, who knows? There's a billion pieces of information that have been lost from history because it was never recorded, and we know about it. What?
Maybe it was done in secrecy.
But even if it was not in, even if it was not in secrecy, it's not relevant to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are traveling in the desert. Over here is a Bullock and a Bilam. They have a conversation. They go to a place. They build a mizbeach. They're all alone. It seems in Pesukim over here. It seems they're all alone, and they build these little mizbeachos and they bring korbanos. And then I say, Hashem, I'll go to sleep. Hashem will talk to me. We would never know this. We would never ever know this. And yet, no one came to attack us. Klal Yisrael was Oilam Kimin Hagaynok. You would never even know that someone was trying to destroy you. And yet, the Torah reveals what happened. You should know that when you were sound asleep, when you were learning in Koilal in the morning, do you know there were people out there planning and plotting to destroy you? And do you know the miracles that happened that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about, that their plans were just thrown off course, and these people they collapsed, and everything came to an end, and you didn't even know this happened? The Torah over here is revealing that is the unique demand that Micha is making from Klal Yisrael. You should be aware that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is protecting you behind the scenes. Things are going on. Halacha biyadeinu Esav sonei Yaakov. There are people out there every second of the day planning and plotting to destroy you, and you'll never ever know about it. I just gave you here in the Torah one example that should serve for you as a dogma to know that there are millions of examples like this. Sometimes we find out about it. We find out about it maybe 100 years later, we find out about it. Sometimes we find out about it the next day. Sometimes we never find out about it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hinei lo yonum velo yishon shomer Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always guarding, protecting us, and we don't even know what's going on. We're oblivious. Ignorance is bliss. Totally oblivious to what's going on behind the scenes. Hashem in this week's parasha is telling Klal Yisrael, I'm giving you one dogma of what I do for you that you would otherwise never ever know about. And I want you to use this dogma as an example to everything in life, to recognize what I'm doing for Klal Yisrael. Zichor mo ma yoatz bolag melech moyav ume ono oso bilam ben bar. Rav Shlesinger now says that's why Chazal really wanted to include this in the Kriya Shema. Because what is Kriya Shema all about? Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And what do we say? Hashem is my God. Hashem is Echad, He's one. And what do we say? Echad. All four corners of the world, in the highest heavens. The Ribbono Shel Olam is not just in front of you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you say Echad, the deeper meaning of Echad means Hashem is your God behind the scenes. All over the world. All four corners of the world, the Ribbono Shel Olam is there, who has selected Klal Yisrael to be His Am HaNivchar, and He's protecting us. He's protecting us in the furthest corners of the world, the Dalet Kanfos Aretz. Even in the eighth heaven, in all of the heavens, there are mekatrigim that we don't even know what's going on in Shemayim. There are malachim, the mekatrigim that are coming to say they did this avera, and therefore they should be punished, and this and this. And Hashem says, no, I don't want you to punish them. They're good. I forgive them. I meichel them. And do we know about this? Not in this world. We have no clue. That's what Kriya Shema is all about. The way to remember that this is what Kriya Shema is all about, it's not just what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in front of me, what I know about, is to read the parasha of Balak. The parasha of Balak will remind you, Zuchami Zuchor no mo mayuatz Balak melech mayavu me onelo bilam. It will force you. Chazal said we would really like to do it, but we can't because Tircha did Sibur, but doesn't mean you should not forget about it. Mimela, now we have a much greater appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, you complain to me all the time. Zechor me hayolanu. Remember, Hashem, remember the good old days. Yeah, I'll remember the good old days. But you got to give also, you have to recognize, you have to remember me. Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, I'll remember you when you'll remember me. I don't just want you to remember me. You'll come to shul, and you say, "Oh, Shema Yisrael Hashem." You'll say, "Oh, there's Ribbono Shel Olam." I want a little bit more from you. I want you to have faith in me. I want you to recognize that I'm always there, even in the darkest places, even when it doesn't seem like I'm there, even when things that you do not know about. when you'll have that appreciation of the Ribbono Shel Olam, you'll remember me in events, in having emunah in the stories like Balak and Bilam, then I will remember you as well. That's the connection between the two. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remember us when there's a very specific type of remembrance that Hashem is all over, that Hashem rules the world. His hashkocha is infinite, even in areas that we do not perceive. That's what Hashem demands from us. And when we remember this, then Hashem says, I will remember you and I will bring for you the geula. Oh, right. This is what he actually says. That. He talks that Kol Goyim, the examples of the Goyim, they really know. They have to praise. We don't know what's going on. Right. He ties that in as well. I just want to point out that there's just 30 seconds just to tie this into another thing. We have here that when they built the Mizbechos, it says the Shivas HaMizbechos, seven Mizbechos. Right. And Rashi is why it says, why is there a Hei HaYediyah? Because it refers to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Avraham built four Mizbechos. Yitzchak built one Mizbeach, and Yaakov built two. A grand total of seven. They wanted to build seven Mizbechos to counteract the Zechus Avos, the seven Mizbechos of the Avos. I want to say a drush, is that the seven Mizbechos correspond to the seven Batei Mikdashos. Seven Batei Mikdashos, the seven Mishkanes. There was the Mishkan, Gilgal, the famous Chazal, the Mishkan, Gilgal, Shiloh, Noiv, Givoin, Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni. How many korbanos did they bring? They brought 42 korbanos. Three korbanos, the total number of korbanos and all of the events put together, you make the calculation, I don't remember the calculation.
Two on each of the seven altars three times. 2 times 7 is 14, times 3 is 42.
42. You make the calculation, there are 42 korbanos. Why 42? The number 42 is very significant. There are 42 masos. When they travel in the Midbar, they travel 42. The seven Mizbechos and the 42, number 42, represent the history of Klal Yisrael. From the time of the building of the Mishkan until the Bayis Shlishi, we've had seven Mizbechos. Seven unique Mizbechos. And the Mishkan is called after the Mizbeach. And that, there were 42 korbanos. The 42, the mice of a similar bottom, the one masos, there were 42 masos, corresponds to the entire existence of Klal Yisrael throughout history until we come to the time of Mashiach, our ultimate destination. There's always, in every tekufa of history, there's always a Balak and a Bilam. They just change their names, and they change their location, and they change their techniques. There's always a Balak and a Bilam in all of the history of the seven Mizbechos that span from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim all the way into the time of the building of the Bayis Shlishi. And the 42 Korbanos represent the entire expanse of history of the Masos, Ma'is of a similar Banim. There's always a Balak, there's always a Bilam. And you know what? Most of them we don't know about. It's a big secret. It's a big secret. We're oblivious to what's going on behind us. But yet, the demand of the Navi is, throughout the entire history of the seven Mizbechos, the 42 Korbanos, Ami, Zichorno, Mayat, Balak, Melech, Moyav. Don't forget. Hine, Lo Yonum, Velo Yishon, Shomer Yisrael. Have a wonderful Shabbos.